And telephone hookup?
Well, we had a telephone. We couldn't afford a TV for years, but we had the phone.
The party line or
no, it wasn't a party line. And a lot of it was a party line, and if the phone rang, it would be 1, 2, or 3, depends who won it. And if you phoned, you'd say, this is L3 or something. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yeah, so, but the talking about the TV at that house reminds me of a terrible situation that happened in 1967 when Hurricane Freda came roaring through. And we were all told by radio that it was coming, and it was at Portland, and it was coming, and we, you know, we were all sitting there in the kitchen, four little kids, and Doreen and I wondering, well, what's this going to be? And then the trees started to blow, and then it got louder and louder, and the TV arrow came crashing down the roof, and that was banging on the roof. And the shingles started coming off, and they were making noises. They would flap before they, and they would fly across the street and dig into the siding of the neighbors' houses or go through their bedroom window or living room. It just destroyed the front of their houses. And so we lost most of our roof, but fortunately it wasn't raining so hard. We had enough buckets to catch the water, and we had no damage except for the roof.
Do you remember how long it lasted? Was it...
Oh,
a few hours.
Well, several hours. Yeah, it was over by the next morning. Yeah, and so we were all up there with tarps and trying to cover up the holes, and then the shingle, the roofers were busy after that.
Yeah,
but that was unforgettable. Yeah.
Wow.
Kids were scared stiff, and we were too.
Yeah.
Very noisy. But anyway, that was on First Street where we lived. The facilities in the area were quite good because Westburn Park already existed with the wading pool and the little jungle gym and the building. And then Cascade School would have, our kids belonged to the bands and things like that, and they had concerts and shows some Friday nights or Saturday afternoons.
A lot of students packed together? Or like,
were
they in large classes?
It probably had... 350 at the time, I think, something like that.
Do you recall how large the classes were that your kids
were in? Well, okay, now classes in those days were it was easy to have 40. And at Alpha, I had taught like PE and math and English, and there wasn't a gym, there was an auditorium with a cement floor, and so my PE classes were in there. It wasn't very big, but they could be 40 or more. And one of my classes I taught on the front hall, there was not enough rooms, and so we had desks in the hall, and I think that was a class of about 44. But that didn't bother us because they all spoke English. There were no people with disabilities, and the school was the authority of the kids. We had authority over them from the time they stepped off their property in the morning till the time they stepped back on after school. And if we were driving to school and we saw somebody smoking, we could punish them for that.
Oh, wow.
Or stealing fruit or something, or misbehaving between. So there was quite a bit of discipline, although there was a lot of sports and a lot of clubs and a lot of activities. So most of the kids were involved in a friendly way with the staff. And the staff really loved it. You know, it was a lot of fun playing staff-student games and coaching and going to various schools.
Now, when you got the job at Alpha, I'm curious, since you'd been going to school on the Vancouver side of the border, did you have any, I mean, was it wonderful to get a job in Burnaby teaching schools, or did you think, oh my goodness, I'm going off to the
bushland? Yeah, now that's something, too, because... I had applied to Vancouver, and I drove around, and I saw all these old brick things, and I think, I really don't want to work there. But we all applied to various districts, and Burnaby invited me to come in for an interview, and they hired me and told me where I was going, which was Alpha, and the principal there was Tom Chalmers, an awfully fine man, excellent administrator, ex-athlete. And so I contacted him in the summer, and I wanted to set up an elaborate house system, because this was my thesis at UBC. And so he said, well, go ahead. So I did that. The discipline was pretty well, there wasn't too much nonsense going on. Now there's a whole bunch of tricks that teachers play on each other, mm-hmm. on the kids and vice versa, and they all love it. And in the book that we're doing on the history of Burnaby, we're featuring a whole bunch of anecdotes of these really bizarre tricks that people played on each other and laughed and played games together. And that is not now. That was up to a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so the discipline at Alpha was good, and people behaved. The field was not finished. It was still gravel, so we got the kids to bring rakes and shovels and the parents, and we all raked the field and mm-hmm. made it playable.
Mm.
So I guess it was a pretty stiff and severe atmosphere. There wasn't the kids didn't have a chance to sort of tease teachers. Wouldn't dare do that.
So teachers had quite a bit of authority
in the classes. Oh, yeah. It was authoritative. Definitely the strap was used in detentions. But a lot of people didn't use the strap. A lot of people didn't like it and didn't need it.
Hmm.
Quite often the vice principal of the school had to discipline the kids that the teacher couldn't discipline. Mm-hmm. And when I did the history of Edmonds, which started in 1894, the kids in the elementary school, some of them had beards.
No.
And the first teacher who tried to discipline one of these young fellows in elementary school, he picked her up and carried her outside, set her down in the playground. So she quit. So that was quite a different situation mm-hmm. there than we had here, right. Which where the teacher was the boss.
So before, though, you actually ended up at Alpha, though, were you thinking Burnaby is going to be a great new place to go, or were you a little nervous that it might be a...
Well, okay, going back to the sticks, everybody, including my own family, they all thought we were going out with the sticks. But I loved the sticks. You know, Richmond and Doreen grew up in Marple, where her dad had a wonderful garden. And so when we came and looked at this street and these lots, and our backyard was on the south side of the house, so it would be a great place to grow tomatoes and all that. We thought, who cares about the sticks?
Hmm.
Here's a new community with only, what was it? It was less than 40,000 people then?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
It grew a lot in the late 40s, though. So,
yeah. So and there was all this space all around us, all the way to school, everywhere. There was trees and shrubs and streams and lakes and the Fraser River there and Burrard Inlet there, and we'd go to both places and try and make our way to the water, but we didn't let the kids go in the Fraser. So anyway, I didn't care whether it was sticks or not. It was a beautiful place to grow, and the community was growing, so we would be part of...
So you felt you were kind of on the cutting edge of new developments?
Well, we thought we were members of a developing community. Contributors.